Praise God. You know, this is one of those nights. I sent out a slick text today, that text thing we talked about. And at the time, I believe that's what we were preaching on, and seemed good in my heart, but the Spirit of God seems to have said different. So we're going to share what God wants tonight, like we always do, you know, and He changes things at times. And so I'm excited about tonight's message. It'll be a blessing to you. It'll bring hope and help to you. You know, God has done so much for so many people that I know, myself included, and just so thankful. So no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through here tonight, God's got a way. God's got an answer for you, and so I'm excited about that. Praise God. Some of you know we face things in life. We go through things. Life is life at times, and there's an enemy out there, but thank God for the Word. Praise God. So let's pray and believe God tonight for utterance. Father, we thank You so much for the Word. Help me, Lord, to say what needs to be said. Father, let's do what needs to be done here tonight. Father, there are people that come in here tonight with different needs, different circumstances, going through different seasons in life. And Father, I thank You that I'm going to say things tonight that are specific and pertinent to what they're going through. Father, I'm going to hit bullseyes in their heart tonight. And Father, it'll be a sign unto them of how real You are and how loving You are and how much You care for them. And so, Father, I thank You that when I open my mouth, You're going to fill it. Just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Father, I thank You I'll speak words in season. My words will not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, it will be supernatural. Father, we didn't come here to play church tonight or to go through the motions. We came here to have an encounter with You. So, Father, I thank You we walk out of here changed. We walk out of here with new hope. A new day has dawned here tonight. And we give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I had shared along these lines a few weeks back in Allegheny. And I knew that I was to keep this on the shelf and share it here at some point whenever the Holy Ghost released me to do so. Well, that's tonight. You can turn in your Bibles to John 16 and verse 33. Years ago, I heard a minister say something. He made a statement. When he said it, or when I heard what he had said, something in the inside of me, it was almost like fireworks went off. Where it was like, I knew that it was something for my life, and I knew it was life-changing, and it was. And from that point on, it's a motto that I have lived by, and it's biblical. And it's a revelation that we need to get down on the inside of us, because God wants to do some things in our life, but at times, God needs our cooperation. Amen? You know, the world and religion will tell you that God will just do anything that He wants to, and that God just wake up and whatever will be, will be. Well, we just don't read that about Him in the Bible. He gives us opportunities. He tells us what to choose and gives us the opportunity to be blessed and walk into things if we cooperate with Him. And so we need to learn to cooperate with Him. Or one way I like to say it is we need to learn to be skillful with His Word. And the statement that I heard the minister say is he said this. He said, I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. He said that statement. He said, I can't be defeated, or I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. Well, when he said that, it was branded in me. And my hope is that it will be branded in you here tonight. And I want to talk about that statement in the Word, because if you'll walk out of here with the revelation that no matter what comes across your plate, it can't beat you. You say, is that a thing? It's a thing. See, then why do people get beat? My job's not to answer all the what ifs, the ands, and the buts. My job is to preach the Bible. See, one thing that people get in trouble with is they judge God by circumstances. Well, I'm going through this, so this must be what God wants. No, there's lots of things in the Word that God wanted for people, but they didn't cooperate with Him or didn't know, or they were ignorant maybe and didn't know how to cooperate with Him. And they didn't get to receive what God had. It's just the truth. And a lot of people say, well, so-and-so is facing this, and so-and-so went through this, and so that must be what God wanted. I mean, after all, they loved God and they were good. No. There is a thing called the devil in the world. I get tired of God getting the credit that the devil deserves. Amen. And if you walk out of here Now again, don't take my word for it. Don't take what I think. Who cares what I think? What's the Bible say? Is that a true thing that in Christ you cannot be defeated? We're going to see tonight. It is. And then I will not quit is your part. It's your part. Because the only way you're going to find out after tonight that you can be defeated in this life is if you quit. That's it. Say, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. God's bigger. Amen. Pastor, you don't know what I'm facing. God's bigger than it. Amen. He's bigger than anything we face, anything we go through. Yeah, but you don't understand. I understand God. I'm just here to tell you, I understand God. He's bigger than anything we face. Now, that doesn't belittle what we face. That doesn't belittle what we're going through. But see, a lot of times people are magnifying the stuff, magnifying the problems, and magnifying their situations. We ought to be magnifying our God. Our God is bigger than our situations. Our God is bigger than our circumstances. And so many people, a lot of times, they have faith in their circumstances. They have faith in what they can feel and what they can see. Now let's put our faith in Him. Amen. Praise God. And so I cannot be defeated. I will not quit. John 16 and verse 33 tells us something. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you'll have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation." You know what tribulation is? Tests, trials. He said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, think of that statement. Jesus so nicely tells us, we're going to have troubles in the world. And then he says, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome them." And you could think to yourself, well, big deal, if you've overcome them, you're not here anymore. Right? That's what my natural logical brain says to me when I read that. Jesus just tells me I'm going to have tests and trials. Thanks for the heads up. He says, be of good cheer with that. And he tells me why to be of good cheer. Because I have overcome them. He says that. Well, we can't be in good cheer if there's tests in this world. If he's going to go sit on the right side of the Father in heaven and us not be able to do anything about the tests and trials here, I don't know about you, but when... it's nice to be happy for other people when they're blessed. That's a good thing. But I like being blessed too. Amen? You know, if you're going through a financial test and trial, you don't rejoice over yours in the sense of, oh, I'm so excited for my finances because so-and-so down the street got blessed. That's what it looks like Jesus is saying is, be okay with this test and trials. I've overcome them. So what if you've overcome? Well, he gave us the ability to overcome them through him. That's what he's saying. He's saying you can be of good cheer with the tests and trials that come because I've overcome them. Well, you'll see a lot more make sense. But go to 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. So glad you're here, Candace. I've been praying about you. I've been praying about you. I'm telling you, God's going to move in your life. You watch. You watch. You stay faithful. You guys stay faithful. And you watch what God's going to do for you, okay? I've been praying for you. He's been talking to me about you, I guess I'll say. So you must be pretty popular. Taking up my prayer time. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Bible says, "Beloved, don't think it strange concerning a fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." What's the Bible said? Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed when you go through a fiery test. Don't be surprised when you go through a fiery test. He's giving you a heads up right now. Tests are coming. Tests are coming. But what did I tell you? You cannot be defeated if you will not quit. Amen. Well, Pastor, you need to show me in the Word about this cannot be defeated business. Because I'm facing things and the doctors sure say I'm going to be defeated. My finances say I'm sure going to be defeated. Situations and circumstances sure tell me I'm going to be defeated. Well, you're going to have a choice tonight. You like choices? I like choices. Choices give you options. I don't like to be boxed in at times. I like to have choices. You're going to have a choice tonight to believe your circumstances, to believe what the professionals say, to believe what the natural says, or you can choose to walk out of here tonight and believe what God says. It's up to you. Amen. It's up to you. When God told the children of Israel, back there in Numbers chapter 12, he said, "I've given you a promised land." 2 million of them, the tribe of Israel. And they go into the promised land, they send spies out, 12 of them. And they come back and they say, God said we could have this. You know, like Pastor Mike's saying, you don't have to be defeated. And again, I'll prove that by the word. And they go in and they look at the land and they what? They come back and report and they say, we can't have the land. There's giants in the land. There's walls there. There's cities there. There's already people there. There's already armies there. We can't have it. Well, what did they choose? They chose to believe what they saw. They chose to believe what they felt. They chose to believe what they could see, what they could feel, what they were experiencing. They chose to believe the natural. When God had already said, this land is yours. And 2 out of 2 billion, Caleb and Joshua, decided what? They said, I don't care what it looks like. Yeah, there's giants. Yeah, there's walls. Yeah, there's people. But God said something different than what the natural's saying. And the natural might be saying, you're going to be defeated, but I'm going to show you tonight that God says, you don't have to be defeated. Amen. Go with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And the same day, when evening had come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, you have to understand the significance of him saying that. When Jesus opened his mouth, that was the Word of God. He was God in the flesh. He was God on the earth. Jesus, when he spoke to go to the other side, do you think he meant it? Yeah. Let us go unto the other side. So what did they have? They had a word from God. Didn't they? What was their word? We're going to the other side. Well, I'm going to give you a word tonight that says no matter what you're going through, you cannot be defeated if you'll do it through Christ. But then it says when he had sent away the multitude, verse 36, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind and waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The boat's full of water. Well, what happened? In the world you'll have tribulation. Beloved, think it not strange, the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. What happened? Test showed up. Life is like school. What happens in school? Tests show up. Amen. And how? What determines your grade in school on a test? What you know and what you don't know. What your answers are, if they're right answers or wrong answers. It's truth. Same thing in life. Same thing with the Word of God. There's a great storm of wind. Verse 38, he was asleep in the back part of the ship on a pillow. They awoke him. Now look at what they said. They said unto him, Master, do you not care that we perish? Now we've talked about this before. But this is now the professional fisherman talking to the carpenter. Jesus isn't a professional fisherman. The guys on the boat were professional fishermen. That's what they did for a living. They knew the water. They knew when a storm was bad. They knew when it was a dire situation. He's good at pounding nails into a board. He's good at making chairs and tables. He's not a sailor. And these guys wake him up and they said, we're dying here. Why are you sleeping? They were convinced it was over, right? They thought there's no way we're making it to the other side. They thought this is it. It's over. The storm's bad enough. Well, let's see what Jesus thought. Because they weren't lying about the storm. Your symptoms aren't a lie. They're real. You feel them. Your checkbook, when you balance it, that number that's there, it's real. Your bank statement, it's real. The walls in the promised land, the cities and the giants in the land were real. And yet God said it was evil. He said it was an evil report. When the spies came back and said, we can't have the land because of this, 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 God said that's an evil report. And so Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind. The wind was real. And he said unto the sea, peace be still. The sea was rowdy, wasn't calm. And he said it, calm down, sea. So what was he saying? What you reported to me was true. There was a storm of hurricane proportions. The boat's filled with water. Yeah. But look what Jesus said. He said to them, why are you afraid? Oh, I every time I come across this verse, comes up in me. I got to say it because I deal with people. I deal with people and I know how people's minds work. Jesus' response to people that left all to follow him, get in a boat and go around and preach with him, when they were facing a life and death situation, he said to them, I don't understand why you're afraid. Now wait a second, what's worse than a life and death situation? Nothing. You know, if you go to the trial scale, right, maybe down at this end is, you know, you need lunch money, I don't know. You know, there's life and death. You know what I'm saying, the trial scale, from minor trials to major trials, with the major trial being life or death situation. And so being the worst situation would be able to elicit the worst fears, the worst thoughts, the worst anxiety, the worst lack of peace, the worst stress, right? On the scale of... And he said at the worst end of the scale to his guys, because they were convinced, their perception was we're dead. Naturally, we're dead. That's their perception. That's what they can see. That's what they can feel. That's what they're experiencing. That's their perception. And Jesus says to them, wrong response. He says, I don't understand why you're afraid. Now, the natural... Now here we go, because this is where if you let the devil do talking to you, Jude, when you get offended at the preacher. Because the natural absolutely said to them, you're going to die. But why did he say that's the wrong response? Because they chose to put their faith in the natural and not what he said on the shore. He didn't say, let's get in the boat, go out into the middle, storm's going to come, and let's all die. No. He said, we are going to the other side. That's what the word said. Now again, I know the circumstances, what they felt, what they saw, said otherwise. But Jesus said, how can you be afraid? Because what did they entertain? Here we go. This is what we're going to get into. They entertained the thought that the word that he said might not be true. And they entertained the thought that they might not make it. That thought creeped in. Instead of holding fast to what he said, which was what? We're going to the other side. Now they still would have had to get the water out of the boat, no doubt. They still would have had to do things in the natural. And we have to do things in the natural, don't we? You know, we need money. We don't just sit around and do nothing. Right? We still have to hear from God, go to work, give our tithes and offerings. You know, if we're going through sickness in our body, we might have to take the medication, might have to go to the therapy, might have to walk down that road. We still have to do things. They still would have had to do things to see that promise play out. But Jesus was saying to them, you're holding more to what you can see and feel than what I said. And he said, that's a wrong response. In fact, he said, why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? That was the problem. They believed the natural, but the problem was that they entertained the thought that they might not make it. As soon as they saw, wow, this is something we've never experienced before, people die in storms like this, the thought should have been, but wait a second, what does the word say? The word said, we're going to the other side. But what did their thoughts say? You're going to die. And what did they do? They entertained the thought that they might not make it. But I want you to walk out of here tonight with the mentality that minister said, I cannot be defeated. That's the mentality they need to have in that boat. I cannot be defeated. In that situation, they cannot be defeated. Why? He said, you're not going to die in the middle of the water. You're going to get to the other side. Amen. Hallelujah. They entertained the thought that they were going under. Go with me real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. And then I'm going to tell you a story that many of you have heard before, but you know, you all know my stories anyways. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Look what he says to do. Cast down imaginations. Do you believe that the disciples had some imaginations that day? Have you ever faced anything physically and you have some imaginations? Have you ever faced anything financially and oh, your mind starts a-wandering? What's it going to look like when I lose my house? What's it going to look like when I lose my business? What's it going to look like when this and that happens? Imaginations. He says, cast down imaginations. He didn't sit there and say to think on them. Now, what kind of imaginations is he talking about? God's not trying to... He gave you an imagination for a reason, but he gave you... Your imagination can go the right way or the wrong way. He says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, let's go back to the boat and think about what that would look like. The knowledge of God, which is the Word of God, in that situation was, you're going to the other side. That was what the Word said. We're going to the other side. The natural hit, storms, tests, trials that Jesus said, and that elicited more imaginations, didn't it? Then they started imagining, we're going under, we're going to die, how do we know? They gave voice to what they were imagining. Jesus, how could you sleep? We're dying here. So they, in their minds, started picturing, it's over, and he's sleeping. Well, what did they do? They didn't do verse 5. They didn't cast down the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. No, what did they do? They started thinking on it. Instead of saying, wait, remember? I know he's sleeping, but remember? He said we're going to the other side. He's not lied to us yet. He said we're going to the other side. If he said we're going to the other side, that settles it. We're going to the other side. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Just like God told the children of Israel, they didn't believe. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, but then when they went back to take it after the 40 years, the same giants were still in the land, the same walls were still there, the same cities were there, but now it was led by a faith person in Joshua, and Joshua says, I don't care what I see, what I feel, what I experience. God said it's ours. Amen. Amen. And cast down imagination, every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Now, the verses before tell us that the devil's goal is to get you in a stronghold, and the way that you avoid him getting you into a stronghold or a grip on your life is by casting down imaginations that are against what God has said. Why? Well, the devil works through thoughts. And so what the devil will do is he'll use circumstances, situations, and launch what the Bible calls fiery darts into your mind or in the form of thoughts. That's why he says you got to take thoughts captive. You can't let thoughts roam free. Because what happens, let's go back to the Mark chapter 4 portion of it. They got a thought in their head. We're going to die. We're not going to make it, even though the Word said you're going to the other side. Right? Well, they didn't cast it down. They began to think on it or water that thought. And what happens when you water a plant? It gets stronger. It gets roots down to the ground. You remember that old house I had? I walked outside and one day, early on when we had it, looked between the two bushes and the mulch and saw a little plant coming up out of the ground. And it didn't belong there. I didn't know at the time it was a tree. And all I had to do was walk down the steps and get in between those bushes and reach down and just pluck that out. No root system in there, get rid of that. But, you know, we get lazy, and I didn't feel like doing it and didn't think much of it. And about 7-8 years went by, and I noticed that this thing is springing up, and it's high now, and it looks out of place. And I remember Pastor Tim and his brother-in-law came over, and they were making fun of me for it. Said, that doesn't look right there. Said, yeah, I know, I'll go get it. So I walked over to that thing, reached down with the same hand I would have done it earlier, six, seven, 8 years, I don't remember how long it was, tried to pull that thing on, I couldn't get it. Why? It had taken root. It became a stronghold in there. Why? Because it wasn't dealt with when it needed to be dealt with. And so what happens is they didn't deal with that thought, we're going to die. No, no, no. Bible says cast that down. As soon as you get that thought, cast that down. Why? Because if you don't, when you think on it, when you imagine, you're watering that thing. And it's going to get stronger and stronger until the point where they don't even remember what Jesus said. They're just, oh, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. Amen. He says to bring it into obedience to Christ. What's that mean? Bring it back to the Word. But the Word says this. We can't die. The Word said we're going to the other side. But they entertained the thought that they're going to die. Thoughts came. They entertained the thought that they were going under. Well, what if? Now see, what happens is situations tell us. Circumstances tell us. Checkbooks tell us. Bank statements tell us. Doctors' reports tell us something, don't they? And they can tell us very, very dire things. The natural tries to get us to believe in it rather than believe in the unseen realm. It's so easy to believe in the natural because you can see it, feel it, and experience it. It's the unseen realm is where your blessing comes from. And I want to talk to you real quick about cannot be defeated. I'm going to give you some verses tonight, like Jesus did, about getting to the other side, about verses of your situation that you'll get to the other side of your problem. But you'll have a choice. Do I believe the natural or do I believe what God said? It's up to you. I've had many times where it looked like I was going under financially, physically. Doctors tell me things I wouldn't be cured for the rest of my life. Things that wouldn't be cured for year, you know, one time a year before you start seeing any change. And you have a choice. You feel it and you experience it and it seems so real. I've seen bank statements that tell me I'm $2,000 short every single month. And you have a choice. Am I going to believe the word or am I going to believe what I can see? Because faith is the only way you get through with God. It's the truth. So let me tell you a little story. Now, you all remember this story from me telling you, so when I say you remember January 3rd, 1993, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't, let me fill you in. That was the day the Buffalo Bills played the Houston Oilers up at the time, Ralph Wilson Stadium. And they had gone to three straight Super Bowls, and now this was the wild card game. They had to win three to go back the fourth time, and it didn't look like they were going to go back. Now, I got tickets to that game for my birthday. I was just a young boy then, you know, and went to that game, and it was a horrible game at first, you know. At halftime, the Bills were down 28-3. And the stadium just started to empty out. And the people I was with wanted to go. I think it's because they just wanted to get back to the vehicle and drink, get out of there, you know. And I turned brat mode up to all-time high. I said, we're not going nowhere. I said, this is my ticket. At my birthday, we're staying. And it wasn't just because I wanted to see the rest of the game. It was because I had a belief in that team. I did. The Bills were everything to me back then. I mean, I always say two things define my childhood, my years playing baseball and my years of having season tickets. We had season tickets from 87 to 96 when Jim Kelly retired. And anyways, I have to tell you a story. This is the greatest thing ever happened to me at dinner last night. Who wants to hear it? I don't know what to do with this, but I got something good. I went out to dinner with my cousins. They had come down to Allegheny for the service last night, went out to dinner with them afterwards, and they had told me about a trip they went to Florida, and they rented a house down there, and they got to talking with a gentleman, and he said, oh, you guys are from Western New York? He said, Jim Kelly's like a second brother to me. And they said, what do you mean Jim Kelly's like a second brother? They said, well, he was a roommate of my brother when he went to the University of Miami. He was a Hurricane. And my cousin, he said, I got to show you something. The guy showed him his phone. My cousin took a picture of Jim Kelly's cell phone number. And he told the guy, I promise you I'll never send it to you. And I said to my cousin, I need that picture. I need that picture. And they looked into things, you know, and the guy was absolutely legit who he was, and he did so much things for him down there and told him all different stories and different... So now on my phone, I have Jim... Now, you don't understand, this might not mean nothing to you, but for the boy who grew up from 87 to 96, only got rid of our season tickets when he retired, he was my childhood idol. And now I got a cell phone number, and I don't know what to do with it. I just don't know what to do with it. I'm so tempted to do something with it, but I shouldn't probably do anything with it. But don't tell on me now. So I just had a love for that team. And Jim wasn't even playing this game. He was hurt. Frank Reich was in that game, the backup quarterback. But this is my point. Halftime, people were discouraged. People were bummed out. People were frustrated. People were angry. People were depressed and discouraged and left the stadium. Well, some hung on, you know, because they had maybe paid for their ticket or wanted to just stay there or whatever. And they came back after halftime and threw another interception right as soon as the game started. And they ran it back all the way for a touchdown. So now the Bills are in the third quarter down 35-3. Well, you talk about the stadium emptying out at halftime. It really emptied out after that interception. Because no team had ever even thought about coming back from a deficit like that, in the playoffs no less, in the third quarter. So what happened? People left discouraged. People left sad. People left upset. Well, long story short, we know they ended up winning 41-38 in overtime. Remember? You remember Steve Christie hit a field goal. You remember that? If you don't, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I mean, that's a huge part of history. And so anyways, they won 41-38, but this is what I want you to understand. God is the Alpha and the Omega. Is he not? He is. He's already been to your future and back. He knows everything. He knows exactly what turns for you to make, what adjustments to make, how to get out of that problem you're in. So he knew, by being the foreknowledge that God has, that when the final buzzer would sound for that game, the Bills would be victorious. Did he not know that? Wasn't a surprise to him. He's already been to the future and back. I'm not so sure he cares that much about it. I don't, you know, we'll ask him when he gets there. But he knew about it anyways. Now, how would it have changed all those thousands of people that left in the second quarter, that left at halftime, that left in the third quarter, knowing the final result? It would have stopped them from being fearful that the Bills' Super Bowl run is over. It would have stopped them from being discouraged, from being frustrated, from getting angry, from feeling like, why is this happening to me? Had they known the final result. Would they not have? Absolutely. How would it change things for you? I think light bulbs are being tugged in your mind right now, the little strings. How would it change things if what you're facing right now, that's telling you there's no way out of this? Because that's what that game was telling everybody that left. They wouldn't have left if they thought they could win. What was the natural telling them? There's no way, you're not going to win this. Well, what if your situation and what's telling you there's no way, no hope, it's been like this forever, it's not going to be different, it's not going to change, oh, doctors are saying this, financial reports are saying this, this and that. What if we have a greater word, or we have a word from a perch position that says, hey, you're just in the second quarter. It's not even halftime yet. Hey, it's only the third quarter. There's so much time to turn this around. Well, what would it have done? It would have kept them in the seats. They wouldn't have gone anywhere. They would have stayed there and they would have known, I have a final result on this game. We're winning in the end. I'm here to give you the final result of the game. It's already been written. The end has already been written. We win. We win. Amen. Knowing the outcome removes fears, doubts, anxiety, stress, discouragement, all the things that aren't faith, right? That's what it does. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now remember, if you don't understand how God works, this might not make sense to you, because what you'll think is, if God said something, why is this happening in my life? If God said something that is His will, why is it different in the natural? Well, that brings it back to the idea that there's an enemy. You know, when the Bills kick the ball off, or the ball gets kicked off to the Bills and they get it, and their desire is to get to the end zone and get as much yards as they can, and they're running down the field with that ball, they don't all of a sudden stop in amazement and think, who are these big people on the other side trying to hit me? Who are these people trying to tackle me? No, they know there's opposition. Jesus told us you're going to have opposition. There's a devil trying to keep you out of what God says you can have, but if you'll do it God's way, He can't keep you out. He can hinder, He can push back, and He can try to delay, but He cannot win. Why? What's the word say? 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which sometimes, if you're lucky, if the chips fall where they may, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. See, it's in Christ. That's why Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, But be of good cheer, I've overcome them. Well, big deal if you've overcome them, I'm the one here. Well, it is a big deal because now through Him, He causes us to triumph just like He overcame. Amen. You know, there was a first, second, a third, and a fourth quarter for what Easter was. Jesus was dead as a doornail. It looked over. It looked over. He's in the grave. He's in the tomb. He's done. It's over with. Just getting started. Final buzzer hasn't sounded yet. Praise God. And it says He'll always cause us to triumph in Christ. So you got to know how to do that through Christ. So how do you take this verse? You take this verse to your situation, and this verse meditated on will start to drive out the thoughts that this is it for me. This is it for me. This is the way I'm always going to be. It's never going to change. This is how it's always been. This is what I can experience. This is what I feel. No, He says I'll cause you to triumph, but it's all said and done. You win. And He's not talking about heaven. You don't have to triumph over anything in heaven. I'm talking about down here on the earth. 1 John 4 and verse 4. See, the devil plants that thought in your head and it's so tormenting. What if this is it? What if this won't change? What if I have to experience this the rest of my life? You got to get that thought out of your head and replace it with a God thought. This is turning. This is changing. Praise God. 1 John 4 and verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater," everybody say greater, "greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." You have the greater one inside you. Another reason why Jesus would say, be of good cheer, I've overcome them. Well, big deal, Jesus, you're up there. No, I'm not. I'm in you, glory to God. He is up there, but He's also, you know, in us. The Spirit of God and power of God's in us. Praise the Lord. The greater one. Well, what, how does that translate to this situation you're in right now and facing? What I'm going through, Jesus is greater than it. God is greater than it. What are you doing when you're doing that? You're giving God your faith. He needs your faith for Him to work. I don't have time to teach it, but we know He needs your faith for it to work. Remember the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34? The Bible says many people were touching Jesus, but when she touched Him, he turned and said, "Who touched me?" He felt something go out of Him, the Bible says. The Bible says virtue or power went out of Him. And the disciples, because they didn't know what He experienced, they said, "Jesus, you've lost your mind. Multitudes are touching you. Many people are touching you. And you're asking us who touched you?" And he was saying to them, "I know someone specifically, something different happened." Well, the Bible says the power of God went out of Him and went into her, and she got healed. And Jesus said what? Jesus went up to her and said, "Daughter, your faith made you whole." Well, all those other people were touching Him, going through the motions, but not getting anything from Him. What caused her to draw the power out of Jesus? See, He didn't even know she was there. He didn't favor her. She did something that flipped a switch. She flipped the switch of faith. Blind Bartimaeus did the same thing in Mark chapter 10, and the woman with the daughter that was grievously vexed to the devil did the same thing in Matthew 15. Got his attention through faith. Jesus said, "If all things are possible, if you'll believe it." What's He saying? I can work all things if you'll flip the switch of faith. That's why Brother Hagin would always say, keep the switch of faith turned on. Why? That's how God can move. You see, God's power is everywhere all the time. He doesn't change. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's no shadow of turning with Him. He's always the same. The power is always there. And you know, I like to use the example of, if we turn all the lights off in here, it'd be really dark, you know, with no windows, you might see a little light in the crack there, but if it's dark, you wouldn't see it outside. And if we bring someone in from the year 30, it was a long time ago, the year 30, and they didn't have electricity, you know, and we sat them down in the year 30, and we had all the lights off, and we handed them a book, said, "Will you read that?" I said, "Well, I can't see. And you'd say, "Well, shed some light on the book." And if you're from the year 30, and we don't give them, you know, anything, candle, match, or anything, they say, "I don't have anything to shine the light on." Well, we know from being from the year 2019, All you got to do is walk over to the wall and hit that button over there and you'll have light. But see, when they're unaware of that, they sit in the dark. And that the power was available the whole time. The power, but they learned how to cooperate with the power. You got to. So if you teach them, go turn the light switch on. What's that teaching them? Learning how to cooperate with the power. A lot of Christians sit and think, it's just going to happen, it's just going to happen, it's just going to happen. If you'll use faith, that'll turn the switch on. Amen. Praise God. 1 John 5 and verse 4. Whoa, this is a good segue into this one. I didn't even mean to do this. I'll tell you, do things God's way. The Holy Ghost will make you look good. He'll make you look good. I don't mean natural. I mean just like you say things and things come out of your mouth. And I mean, if you really understood how little education I have, how uneloquent of a speaker I really am, but God works through donkeys in the Bible, so I am well qualified. I have met the qualifications. And I have been called that before, and you have probably too. Amen. 1 John 5 and verse 4, look at this now. Whatsoever is born of God. Well, are you born of God? If you're a Christian, you are. If you've been born again, then you're a Christian. Now look what he says, the DNA for the person, or the legal right for the person that's born of God is to what? Overcome the world. That means anything the world throws at you, because what's religion tell us? When we get to heaven, it'll all be good. No, he said we can overcome the world. Nothing to overcome in heaven. He's talking about here. But he says this is the victory that overcomes the world. Hoping that God works, no. Wishing that God would work, no. Begging and moaning and groaning that God would, no. He says the victory for you to overcome the world is your faith. That's why Jesus told the disciples, wrong response, you have no faith. Faith is how you overcome. But look at what the Bible says so far, what we saw. You're always to triumph. You're always to overcome. You have the greater one on the inside of you. That sounds like somebody that cannot fail. Overcome, praise God. But what's the wind and the waves do? Jesus said we're going to the other side, but the wind, the waves, and the water said, no, you're not. And the wind and the waves try to get your attention off the things that God has said. Praise God. You know, when the Lord told me to believe, when they told us we're going to have the sprinkler system, which was about an additional $100,000, and the architects, the building inspector, and the contractor saying it's pointless, the people that made these laws aren't the ones that build buildings, said, for this building, you don't need that, but New York State law says you have to have it. Well, when they told me that, I had a choice. Either we're going to raise another $100,000, or I'm going to believe God that they're going to change that. We're not going to have to do it. So I asked the Lord, what do you want me to believe for? Because I can only believe for what He wants. Because I can't stand on the fact that they're going to change a law unless I know that's His will. Amen. This faith thing isn't a bunch of fairy dust. It's based on the solid foundation of God's Word. Well, in the Word, it doesn't tell me whether to believe for the money or to believe for it to be turned around. So I found out from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit said, believe they're going to change the law. I said, okay, if you want me to believe for the $100,000, I will. But if you want me to believe to change the law, I'll believe to change the law. So I told them, hold off. If you can hold off, can you hold off? They said, yeah, we can hold off. I said, okay, don't do it. So every day, confess, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. They're going to change the laws. The building inspector said, no, it's not going to happen. You're going to have to do it. They kept calling me and say, can we get back to finish that? I said, no, just can you hold off? Is it hold you up to hold off? I said, no, we can do other things. I said, keep holding off. Just keep holding off. Well, they did. They wrote some special provision to the courts that was signed by the architect, the building inspector, telling the courts that for this building, it's ridiculous to have the full sprinkler system that they want and try to get us to have some kind of provision that we wouldn't have to do it, and they denied it. You know what that was? A wind and a wave. Yeah. See, God already told me we're not going to have to put the sprinkler system in. The architect's telling me there's no way around this, Pastor Mike. You know what that is? A wind and a wave. Yeah. Doesn't matter what the professionals say. Doesn't matter what the natural says. Only matters what God says. Amen. And then the contractor calling me, we're going to have to do this. The building inspector, Pastor Mike, I'm so sorry we can't get around this. They keep denying us. Laws aren't changing. Just wind and waves. And one day I was in the kitchen. Text message showed up on my phone. Pastor Mike, you're not going to believe this. They changed the law. You don't have to have a sprinkler system. I started laughing and showed her the phone. Well, why didn't I go, oh my gosh, because I already believed it. Amen. I was just waiting for it to happen, right? Because when they're telling me that we're denied by the courts and they're telling me there's no way, that's just the first, second, and third quarter, fourth quarter bell has not sounded yet. And I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. What is the wind and wave trying to get me to do? Yeah, we better just do the sprinkler system and waste $100,000 that we would have needed to pay for. Yeah. Pastor, we did the provision. They said no. Every time they call, it's trying to get me back off of what the Lord said to me. But when you have the mentality that no matter what it looks like, I cannot be defeated. I cannot be defeated. And the only way I can be defeated is if I quit. Real quick, go to Romans 8:37. We're almost done. Romans 8:37. There's a lot more verses that I could have given you about not being defeated, but I think the ones I gave you are pretty good. Amen. Romans 8:37. Can't entertain that thought. Oh, the devil will hop on that thought. How much peace would you go to sleep tonight knowing, I'm going to win. I'm going to overcome this. My finances are going to turn around. That situation with my family and my children, that is going to work for my favor. That situation with the doctors, I know what they're saying and I know what I'm feeling, but I'm going to win in this thing. Oh, the peace it would bring you. And that's what he gives his word for, his peace for you. Romans 8:37. He says, nay. That's how I picture him saying that. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. Oh, I understand now, Jesus, why he said, be of good cheer when we have tests and trials. Because not only did you say, through you we triumph, not only did you say, through you we have the greater one, not only did you say, through you we can have faith that overcomes, but now you're saying to us that through you we're more than conquerors. But if we're going to shout and be excited about being more than a conqueror, that means at times there's going to be things to conquer. At times it's going to look bad. It's going to look like it's going the wrong way. It's going to look like all your hope's fading. It is going to look like that, but it's not over yet. Amen. Imagine if everybody, oh, Jesus is in the grave. It's over. It wasn't over yet. It looked over. It wasn't over yet. The Bills game, it looked over, but it was not over yet. Hallelujah. Would it be wrong to star 67, that number, to see if he will answer or at least get his voicemail? Is that wrong? And then he doesn't see my number? He says no. Well, dog, you're trying to get me put in jail or something, stalking Jim Kelly. That's what I'm waiting. Is that wrong? I want to know if that's his number. Your pastor's got a weird side to him. I'll tell you, you think I'm all spiritual? Don't ask me to see it. I'm not showing. I don't dare show anybody. I'm not. That is top secret. Amen. But to be a more than a conqueror, you got to walk it out. You're going to have to walk out the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. You're going to have to be on the comeback trail. You're going to not be able to quit. What if the Bills that day would have said, let's mail it in. This ain't happening. No, they didn't. You know what they did? They went out and ran their offense. Don Beebe caught a pass that should have been not counted. He stepped out of bounds, but they gave it to him. Made it 38-17. Yeah. Andre Reed caught a bunch of them. It was awesome. What did they do? They went out and did their thing. The defense did their thing. They didn't quit. They stayed in the game. Stayed in the game. Stayed in the game. How do you stay in the game? Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you have a heartbeat. You're still in the game. You are still in the game. It is still opportunity for the situation to turn, no matter how real the opposition is. It's not over yet. I'm more than a conqueror. The greater one's on the inside of me. Amen. Hallelujah. And we'll close in Matthew 15 and verse 22. You can't quit. You can't quit. Now, I got a text message one time from a gentleman that said, I had said to them, how are you doing? I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. And I had heard rumors that they were going through hell on earth. And they wrote back to me and they said, Basically, to paraphrase, things are terrible, and they were, I'd heard, but God's got this. And the Holy Spirit said to me in my heart, no, He doesn't. Because just to say God's going to do it and you don't do your part, God won't do it. And you can't know your part unless you're planted in the house of God with a pastor that will teach you your part. A lot of people will say, God's bigger, God's bigger, God's bigger. And they just make that statement and they don't know how to cooperate with the force of faith and the principles of faith. And they don't play by the rules here. And you got to be planted in a Bible teaching church, hearing the word. It doesn't have to be this one. But you got to constantly hear the word. Amen. That's what I'm telling you. Gina and Canada, I'm telling you, you listen to your pastor. If you'll stay planted and stay planted, the watering of the word is bigger than anything you're facing. It's more powerful than anything that you're facing. It is. And if you'll stay planted and stay faithful and let the word water you, you'll start to see changes. Amen. Amen. You watch. Old Pastor Mike hasn't lied yet. I'm telling you, it's true. Praise God. Matthew 15 and verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed of a devil. She's in a bad spot, isn't she? But he answered her not a word. He ignored her. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She's bothering us. So that's two strikes against her now. She goes to Jesus. He ignores her. Now, on the surface, it looks like Jesus is being kind of not a nice guy. It looks like Jesus doesn't care about her. But what we know about Jesus, he was the visible representation of God. God is always merciful. God's always loving. Jesus had a purpose for turning her away. He wanted her daughter free from that devil more than she did. Because he knew, he can see that spirit realm. He knows what's got a grip on her. He knows what's happening. He doesn't answer. The disciples say, send her away. She's bothering us. That's two strikes against her. You know, you would think that she would leave and go pout and go sulk. I'm not getting my blessing. But ladies and gentlemen, the only way you don't receive is if you quit. Why? Because you cannot be defeated. We already established that. The only way you can be defeated when the outcome has already been written. The outcome was already written that day. The only way the Bills could have lost that day is to not go back out after halftime. We forfeit. With the principles we know, if you don't quit, you'll receive. So after two times, the disciples are ignoring her, Jesus is ignoring her. You think she'd go pout and go sulk? No. Why? Because if she quits, it's over. And he answered and said, I'm not sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She was a Syrophoenician woman. She was not a Jew. He says, I'm not sent to help her. That's three strikes against her. She's hearing him say this. Well, naturally you'd think, he just says, I can't get my help. But what happens? If you quit, you lose. Thank God she had this mentality of, I cannot be defeated, I will not quit. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it's not right that I would take the children's bread, which was the healing bread for Israel, and cast it to dogs. She was not part of the family of Israel. She was on the outside looking in like a dog. So now he calls her a dog. That's four strikes against her. I love this story. Now, Jesus, if Jesus could just do anything he wanted, he would have. Because he loves people. But what do we know about Jesus? He needs our faith. How many times did he heal somebody and say, your faith be it unto you, because of your faith, according to your faith? God just can't do whatever he wants. We see that in Mark chapter 6. The Bible says Jesus couldn't do very much in his own hometown because of the people's unbelief. Faith flips the power switch for God to be able to move. And evidently, when she's crying out to him, she's not in faith yet because he's not moving yet. So what's he doing? We'll see how much you want this. What he's trying to do is kick her over into faith because then he can move. And he says to her, I'm not here, verse 26, he answered, I'm not here to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now verse 27, you know what happens in verse 27? She flips the switch. She goes from a begging, desperate, moaning, groaning, complaining, trying to tug the heartstrings of God, to a woman of faith that flips the switch. He said, "That's true, Lord." She said, "That's true. You don't cast the children's bread to the dogs. You know, I don't sit down for our meal with our kids and make their food. And then Willow, my black lab, comes running in and I say, oh, Caleb and Abby, you're not going to eat tonight. I'm going to give it to the dog. That's out of order." Well, the children of Israel were the ones that the healing bread belonged to. And he says, "It's wrong for me to give what you need to you when the children need this." And she said, "That's true. That wouldn't be right." She said, "But the dogs, what you called me, get crumbs at my table. Eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." What was she saying? "I don't need the whole slice of bread. I don't need the whole loaf. All I need is a crumb from you. And it's enough to fix my situation." And Jesus said, "My God." Verse 28, Jesus answered and said, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will." Not me, you will. What happened? The switch of faith got flipped. And Jesus moved. He said, "I don't need the whole loaf. I don't need all the bread. I just need a crumb." He said, "Wow, wow, wow." Because what she said was true. The dogs do come up. The dogs love when they eat, especially Abby. Willow loves being around when the kids eat. Why? The crumbs. She gets the crumbs. That's a true statement. And she said, "I just need the crumbs." What was her mentality? "I cannot be defeated. I'm not quitting." She came with the mentality of, "I am going to get what I came for, and nothing is going to deny me." That's what a faith person will do laying in bed at night. Not sit there and ponder all what the natural's saying and how it never works for you and how it's gone on this long. No, a faith person will sit there and say, "I will not be denied my healing. I will not be denied my prosperity. I will not be denied what belongs to me. I will not be denied what's mine, no matter what the wind and what the waves are saying." A lot of wind and waves here for this woman. But she knew too much in her heart that he's a healer and I just got to get him to work on my situation. Faith did that. Amen? So you're going to go home tonight with the mentality, "I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit." Simple as that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this word tonight. It's a word in season. We'll get to the rest of that Holy Ghost service some other time. We have till you come back, Jesus, so we have time. Praise God. Now, Father, I pray like the words that I heard so many years ago, how they were branded in me and were so strong in me that, wow, I cannot be defeated, I will not quit. I looked into it and I saw, wow, through you, Lord, you've offered me victory in every scenario and situation in life if I'll cooperate with you and not give up. Well, faith is how we cooperate, and endurance is how we not give up. Just hold fast, hold fast, hold fast. Continue to stay in faith. Everybody can start a marathon. Not everybody can finish one. It's the in-between parts and getting to the end that's the problem. It's not the starting. It's the in-between parts and the length and the endurance. Well, we're going to get back on the faith train. If we've jumped off the faith train because it's been so many years or things keep looking worse and reports are getting worse and situations are seemingly getting worse and it seems to be farther and farther from our grip, we're going to get back on the faith train and say, "I will not lose and I will not quit." Praise God. I pray that for everybody that would be branded in their heart tonight, no matter what they're facing, what they're going through. Now, if I could ask a favor before we close with heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question tonight. If tonight were my last night on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, there's not a shred of doubt of whether or not I'd go to heaven. And you might say, "Pastor, how can you be so certain on something like that?" Because I have God's word on it. He told me exactly how to get to heaven when I die. He told me exactly what needed to be done. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, it has nothing to do with church attendance. It has nothing to do with your morality, whether you've been a good person or bad person. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with if you've been generous or not, or, you know, helped enough old ladies across the street. Doesn't have anything to do with that. Remember when Jesus died on the cross? It's a good time to share this story. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Don't want anyone to feel embarrassed or, you know, shy here tonight. This is a life-changing decision for people. Jesus hung on the cross and there was a criminal on either side of him. One criminal mocked him and made fun of him. The other criminal said, "Jesus, I believe who you are." And Jesus looked back at him and he didn't say, "I'm so sorry, you're a criminal, you're on the cross, you're a bad person, you didn't go to church enough, you didn't give enough money, you weren't a nice enough person, you weren't moral enough, sorry, you don't qualify." No. Jesus said to the criminal who was being put to death for his bad deeds, he was a non-church-going person, non-moral person, and Jesus says, "You're in. You're in, you qualify." How did he qualify? Believed on him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. I don't know everybody's background. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I won't have anybody stand up, come forward, or say anything on their own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's only one way to do it. You believe and receive. Has nothing to do with coming to church. Has nothing to do with good deeds, bad deeds. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. So if you're here tonight, you can say, "Pastor, I've never officially made Jesus the Lord of my life." If you've never done that before, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and know for sure that you're going to heaven, again, you're not becoming a member of this church. All you're declaring is, "I do believe in Him and I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior." Jesus said, "I'm the only way to heaven." John 14:6. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus here tonight, nobody's looking around, would you just lift your hand high in the air? If you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. Anybody that's never done it before, want to receive Jesus, lift your hand high in the air. You're not joining this church. You're not saying anything other than "I believe in Jesus." Anybody at all before we close this prayer? Anybody at all? You can put your hand down. You've already done this. You don't have to do it again. And I'll explain that in a second. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands for the first time. So I trust that everyone in here is born again, walking with you. But if by chance somebody under the sound of my voice in this building or online right now or in the future has not made Jesus their Lord, I pray they would not pass from this life till they've accepted Jesus, till they cry out to you like the criminal on the cross did and say, "I believe, come into my heart, I receive you." That's all you have to do, and He'll save you. Father, we just thank you. Let's worship Him tonight. Let's just stand up and worship Him. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Candace, come forward. I want to pray for you. Come on up. Come on up. I won't bite you. Do you believe God wants to do something for you? Give me your hands. Now, we're going to pray for you, okay? And when I pray for you, the Bible says that we lay hands on the sick, they recover. And God's power is real. The anointing's real, okay? So after tonight, what you're going to do is you're going to say, "Father, I think I'm going to get better. I think I'm getting better." You say, "The power of God's working in me." You say that, okay? The power of God's working in me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for the word, the spirit, the anointing going into her body right now, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Father, I thank you for the change that we will see in her. Father, you've already been talking to me about this. I told you He's been talking to me about you. And Father, I thank you for change in her life, and she'll be a testimony. So Father, we thank you for great deliverance. We just command the anointing to go into her body and work in her for a cure. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. It'll come to pass. You're greater than anything we face, Father. So I thank you for it. We thank you for it now. We agree on this. We agree on this. And Candace, you might first see small changes, might see just little changes, but I'm telling you what, if you'll stay at it. Gina, if you'll keep her here, if you'll keep her water, I'm telling you, you have a part to play in this. I'm telling you, I wouldn't tell you that if it wasn't true. Keep her here. This is where she needs to be. I could tell you testimonies, Brother Hagin and different people, different changes. This is where you need to be. Life's going to be different for you. You believe it? Let's praise Him together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord, and bless you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give me a big old squeeze. Love you. Awesome. Praise God. Lord, we thank you tonight. We praise you for all you've done, for all you've given. We thank you the word is powerful. The word is mighty. And we give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you Sunday at 10. You're dismissed.